And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. Now, we should be joined on the line by Tony Breen. Good morning to you, Tony.
Morning, Debbie. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. Now, I know it's been probably over a year since we spoke, but I'm delighted to have you on again here on Lifeline. Now, Tony, you're founder of mental health awareness and support group Candles in the Dark. Tell us a little bit about this and how you became setting it up.
Yeah, Debbie. First, I'd like to wish everybody a happy new year and a new decade, 2020, which is, you know, a new start for everybody, Debbie. You know what I mean? And new positivity. And I set up my organisation, Candles in the Dark, in 2016 in October when CAMHS, the Child Adolescent Psychiatry Unit, shut down in University Hospital in Waterford. And I set up a vigil outside the hospital. And I had over 70 people turn up, and it was absolutely amazing with the candles lighting and the support to fight for CAMHS to reopen, because my own daughter was in CAMHS at the time, and we all got letters saying that we did not have a psychiatrist for our children. So that's how Candles in the Dark came about. And would you believe it, it was 3 o'clock Debbie in the morning, and I woke up and I said, no, this cannot happen. And I came up with the name Candles in the Dark within a couple of seconds, because with mental health, Debbie, it can be very dark, but yeah, there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Fair play to you for doing that. Now, if people are listening today and they don't know what CAMHS is, can you explain what CAMHS is?
What CAMHS is, it's Child Adolescent Psychiatric Unit. It's for young adolescents. It's for young kids up to the age of 18. And it's very shocking, because there are children with mental health as young as 5, and we are in crisis with young adolescents, and the services at the moment would not be great. And that's what's so important to have me on air today, Debbie, and I'm so grateful, and to reach out to your listeners as well, you know. And I just want everyone to know as well that I'm not a therapist, I'm not a counsellor, I'm just a normal person that has lived with mental health 24 years, and I just want to give back to others what I have learned in my 24 years experience of mental health. With Candles in the Dark, I do live videos, and I help people with anxiety, and everything is confidential, and anybody of your listeners can contact me through a private message on Messenger also. And what I do there, Debbie, is I help people in relation to all different aspects of mental health, and I will help them and lead them in the right direction. And I do it through voicemail. I used to always type to people when I'd be contacted through Messenger, but now I voicemail, because I give a lot of tips, and people can understand my tips better when they hear my voice, if you understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, exactly. Now, on today's show, we're kind of focusing on adolescents, as you mentioned, because, you know, sometimes a lot of adolescents, I have 4 children, and they do go through stages when they're going through puberty, and they get moody, and they spend a lot of time in their bedrooms as well. And it's just kind of looking out for the signs. If you think your child is suffering with any type of mental health issue, that they can talk to you, or that you can kind of say, well, there's something not right here, and you can kind of see the signs with your own child. It's just today we're going to talk a little bit about that, to kind of pick up on symptoms, I suppose, and signs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so important, you know, it's amazing to have this this time with you and your listeners, because it's so important, because our young adolescents, you know, it's very hard for them to understand how their feelings, how their emotions are, because their emotions can be up and down to the extent that they don't know how to manage it. They don't know how to express their feelings, like us as adults. We find it hard as well. But for young adolescents, it's more important. And it's so important for parents to understand the warning signs that they can look out for. So will I...
Yeah, go ahead.
So for anybody that's listening, if you have a young adolescent and you feel that there is something not right, the tips that you can look out for are, you know, their music. If they listen to music, be very aware of what they're listening to in their bedrooms. If they're normally listening to normal upbeat music, and all of a sudden you're listening to drab music with very drab words, if you understand where I'm coming from, And as being their parent, you will know yourself if the music is changing. That in itself is a major sign that there's something not right. Also, what you have to look out for is if anyone is self-harming, they will hide it as best they can from their parents. What you look out for is, let's say, a child wears short-sleeve tops or vest tops or pyjama bottoms or pyjama tracksuit bottoms or shorts. Keep an eye in case they're wearing long-sleeve tops all of a sudden. That could be a sign that they're after self-harming.
Okay.
And that is very, very common with young adolescents, and they can self-harm in so many different ways. So it's so important to be very vigilant of what your child is wearing in case they're wearing something that's hiding something that may have the effect of self-harm.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what you could be looking out for as well is isolation. They will isolate themselves. They won't be as interacting with their parents or their friends. In school as well, be vigilant with their teachers if they're not interacting in school as much as they would do normally. And if the teacher contacts the parents that there's something wrong with their child that's not speaking out as much, don't look on it that they're just not speaking. There's definitely something wrong there, Debbie. There's a reason why they're not interacting. There's something underlying in there that's causing it. The best advice I can give to parents that have children living with mental health is to be very supportive, very understanding. You know, don't push the child in relation to how do you feel. They don't, a lot of them, Debbie, don't understand how to explain it. So you just simplify it in the best way that you can. It's very important for people as well, you know, if they don't understand mental health, you can educate yourself by going onto the internet or going to a GP to get advice. It's the best thing you can ever do for yourself as a parent, but for your child, because then you can understand what's going on.
Mm.
And you need to nip it in the bud as soon as you can, you know. And there's a lot of techniques you can do as well, with breathing exercises, art therapy, Debbie, and all your listeners. It's absolutely brilliant. What I would advise people to do as well is, for their young adolescents, is to buy art therapy books. They're only, you can buy them in deals, Mr. Price, you know, cheap shops for $150. And with children, you know, you have to sort of be with them to do it, because sometimes they might they're like, you know, oh, it's not working for me, I don't understand this and I don't want to do it. So for the parents, you need to sit with them and do it with them.
Yeah. Now, we know adolescents, Tony, a lot of adolescents, even before they become teenagers, feeling sad or moody sometimes is part of life. And that's, you know, people can feel sad and worried, especially, you know, coming up to exams and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's when it goes on longer than it should, like over, they say, a few weeks, isn't it, when you should really get help and talk to somebody.
Yes, absolutely. It's like, personally, I wouldn't even say a few weeks. You know, in my opinion, as in your list, I just want to stress that I'm not a therapist, not a counsellor. I'm just a normal person that's just trying to help people as best I can from just my own experience. And, you know, each parent knows their child very, very well. You will know the signs. And also, what's very, very hard for young adolescents is the internet. Very hard. There's a lot of internet interaction. There's a lot of bullying that can happen, especially with things like Snapchat. So what I would recommend for parents is you can link your child's phone with your own email, and then you can connect and watch what your child is watching, what your child is looking at, and what they're doing. And also, what is very important, Debbie, is tracking your child's phone. So if somebody goes on, if somebody has a child that has a mobile phone, you can connect it, download an app, it's Phone Tracker, and then when their child is out, they can actually see where their child is at every given time of every day,
right,
which is so important. because if a child is saying they're going to their friend's house, let's say 2 minutes away, but if you check the tracker and your daughter or son is actually 10 minutes away, you're aware of where they actually are, and that is so, so important.
That's great. That is a great thing to have, so you know exactly where they are, and yet giving them their independence as well. But, you know, it's just, I've done so many interviews over the years here talking about mental health, and it's hard to see that it's coming to, I suppose, the surface that there's younger children every year suffering with some type of mental health, like as young as 4 and 5, where they're too young to understand what it is. They don't know how to explain how they're feeling, I suppose, and it comes out in anger and probably not sleeping or don't want to go to school. So there's all these signs as well to look at in younger children as well. And it's sad to say that it's so young now that children are starting to experience depression so young. Is it all to do with social media, I wonder? Is it all too much on them?
Yes, in my opinion, it is. Like, you know, back in my day, we didn't have all social media. You know, young kids of today, they're looking at celebrities, let's say, and they're seeing people that are, let's say, looking better than what they might think they look. And they're looking and they're thinking, right, she looks like this or he looks like this, why don't I? And that lets young adolescents feel very down and very low. And then they're going, I stress to people that are listening, Facebook is brilliant, okay? It's a great connection, but it can also be very challenging because people compare each other to what they're watching on YouTube and seeing other people on YouTube. Don't ever compare yourself to anybody, because if you do, you are just going to have an expectation that you are not going to reach, and that alone in itself can cause mental health through a child adolescent or an adult with mental health as well. Also, it is vital not to compare yourself to anyone. We're all unique, Debbie, in our own way. You know, mental health is very important. The stigma is lifting, which is fantastic. Now, another thing as well, if any of your listeners would join Candles in the Dark. My name is Tony Breen. That's how they know they're on the right page. There's a new support text line that's available since December, and it's amazing. It's run by the HSC. The government minister, Jim Daly, is absolutely fantastic support, and this is for people living with mental health. I personally have used the service, Debbie, since it started. And I got to see what it involves so as I could explain it to my members on Candles in the Dark. So, Debbie, this is a 24-hour helpline. It's a text support number. You ring the text support number and you do YMH in inverted commas. And within a couple of seconds, you are going to get a text, and then you're going to be put through a volunteer that is trained in mental health. And they will be texting you. And it's absolutely, this service, Debbie, is absolutely amazing.
It's something we needed. I know we have a lot of helplines, but something 24 hours is great to have. Do you have that number handy there, Tony, so we can give out?
I don't have it handy on me right now, but what I can do, Debbie, is I can send it to you. And
I'll reach out,
interview, if you would just reach out and just give the number to your listeners, or even get your listeners to join Candles in the Dark, because I do live videos myself in relation to mental health, and every year I do something different. I promote something different. So this year it's to help break the stigma, it's to help break the judgment, you know, and it's all part of our young adolescents. If they see adults reaching out to get the help and the positive talk and feedback about mental health, that is going to help our young adolescents 110% more, because they're not going to feel ashamed. Nobody, Debbie, should ever feel ashamed of living with mental health. And I'm reaching out by here with thanks to you to get out to your listeners that mental health is an illness. It's the same as any illness. You're on medication for a reason. You take your medication. With young adolescents, you will they technically do not diagnose a child adolescent until they're about 18. So that can be quite frustrating for the child, but also for the parents, because it's very, you know, they just don't do that. They just need to wait, because with the hormones and different changes in life and age, they tend to wait. The psychiatrists and that tend to wait. But I really urge parents, and if any young adolescents that are of age listening right now, you know, reach out for that tech support line.
And talk to someone, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people, Debbie, they will reach out better speaking by text a lot more than speaking by the phone.
Well, we'll get that number by the end of the show and we'll give it out. Now, I know... like I spoke to you, it must be over a year ago, Tony, and we spoke to many organisations, Samaritans, Pieta House. Mm. We're in 2020 now. Do you think there's been much done over the past, say, 5 years? Do you think, have you seen an improvement in our mental health care? Or do you think we're still, I know we're still fighting this, there still needs to be a lot more done to help people with mental health, but is there, has there been any improvement in your opinion?
Absolutely, yes. I'm doing my organisation now 3 years, and yes, there has been an improvement. There is certain circumstances and services that are going to take that little bit longer, you know, and the government, I'm very linked in with the government, and I'm very lucky because of that, and I'm very grateful to the government and to Minister Daly with his support, because I just give them all the information that I feel is best for us, the people. I'm just a normal person, you know, there's nothing big words with me. I'm just very straight, very basic, as you know yourself, because you're on my organisation page.
It's a great page, and you do great. I do follow you. You do great work, and your live videos are great. And it's great to have somebody at the other end of a number, or you know, a video that you can just talk to or look and get some advice. But hopefully, as we said, it is 2020 now. I feel one of the things now that really gets me, and I spoke to people about this, is the accident and emergency. I don't think that's a place for people to be going when they have psychiatric problems. I think there should be another place where they can go and not be in that environment, you know, like somewhere where it's a bit more relaxing, that they don't have to be in with everyone else and waiting hours and hours to be seen. To, I don't know what it's like in Waterford. Is it the same as we are in Dublin?
It's accidents and emergency, yes. People do need, you do need to go to accidents and emergency if you're in crisis, absolutely. Do not hesitate to do it. Unfortunately, the waiting time is horrendous at times. You could be there 11 hours. I've often been in A&E myself through the years, and I have been waiting 11 hours to be seen by a psychiatrist, you know. But I just urge people to understand, like, it's not the doctor's fault or the psychiatrist on call. You know, they're doing their job as best they can with the services that they have at the minute. But I can reassure people that things are happening. There are going to be changes. But some of these changes will take time, and that's what people need to know. And that's why these services are being implemented, and they are there. We also have another helpline service, it's a post service, where if you ring us and you're in relation to your mental health, they will link you to what service they feel is best for you. Let's say Aware, Pieta House, and I'll also give you that information, Debbie, today as well. It's all on my organisation page as well, Candles in the Dark, all this information. And I did do a live video not too long ago in January about judgment and everything. I really stress to your listeners, don't judge people that are living with mental health, don't look down on people. And another really important thing for young adolescents is for their teachers to be very aware if they notice that a child is left out, because that in itself causes mental health as well.
Exactly.
And anxiety and social anxiety. And a teacher is aware because they're in their class. Like, a child spends most of their day in school, not at home, if you get me. So the teacher can see if a child is, let's say there's five people in a group having a chat and there's one child sitting on her own, or he on his own. I think a teacher should be aware of that and to change seating areas and be aware of a child if they're not interacting as much, and to help. It's all help through the schools as well to interact and to help. And my advice, I've actually, in my opinion, I think, do you know, starting your day in school, if the teacher did 10 minutes of playtime in school, it doesn't matter whether they're in junior infants or if they're in secondary school or in sixth class. If they just start the day as in have a laugh, play some upbeat music, do some interaction games together as a group, as a class, and then that will lift the mood of the children as a group in their school and in their class. And the same then when the day is over, the same thing again. Before the class has ended, do 10 minutes of, you know, time, have fun, link in with your pupils, play silly games, and believe it, Debbie, I will think that would make some tremendous difference.
Exactly. And if you notice, you know, when if a child is on their own or in the schoolyard and you notice they're kind of on their own, be vigilant, keep an eye on them and see, because you know what? Bullying can start very young, of isolation can start very young, and it can leave a big impact on that person's life for the rest of their life.
It actually can. It can actually, it's such a big impact, Debbie, that somebody can actually live through social anxiety disorder due to being isolated in school or being bullied in school. And that's why I'm highly stressing this. And I hope that there's teachers that will be listening to the show, and for your listeners to be understanding of all. It's all practical stuff, you know, and it's very basic stuff, but it's vital.
Exactly. Vital. Now, Tony, time just flies by, but we're going to have to finish up now. But just to leave us on a note too, if there's any adolescents listening out there and they are feeling that they need to talk to someone, what's the most important thing to do is I suppose to talk?
Yeah, so any adolescent that is listening to you right to us right now, or maybe back on the internet to your show, you know, don't bottle things up. You know, reach out to your parents, explain how you feel, and, you know, the best way is to explain how you feel. It doesn't matter how small the situation is that you may be going through, but if you're feeling a little bit of it's like a flutter in your tummy. If you feel anything like that, that is a sign of anxiety. And you say it to your parents, and that way then your parents can go out and bring you to your GP and have a chat. And if you have an issue in school, reach out to your teacher, reach out to your principal. In confidence, there's no hassle with that at all. You know, reach out for help, reach out for support.
Talk to somebody, yeah.
Bottle things up.
Exactly.
Just talk and reach out. And, you know, you are worth everything. And everybody is worth their help and the support. And that is the best advice that I can give to anybody that's living with mental health. Do not bottle things up. We are human beings. We have an illness. It's nothing that we're a failure to. It's not, you know, and we just need to be supportive as a society, as a community, to look out for each other, look after our young adolescents, and look after even adults as well. Be very vigilant, you know, and you'd be surprised, Debbie, what you would see even when you're out and about. I'll give you one example quickly before you let me go. I was in a chipper one time, and there was a young adolescent in this chipper, and I knew by looking at this young child, she was about, I don't know, 13, I'd say, and I knew there was something not right. But there was a lot of people looking at this child, but she was on her own, and nobody went up to see or ask them three words, Debbie, as you know, them three words that I always say, are you okay?
Yeah.
So I went up to that girl and I asked her, are you okay? And this girl was not okay. So I was just so glad that I went to her, and that's why I'm highlighting this particular incident, for everybody that's listening, just be vigilant. If I didn't ask that girl that day, nobody probably would have. Yeah. You know, don't ever assume that somebody else is going to ask the person, are they okay?
Exactly.
And thank God I got the girl to open up. Like, you just go up to somebody with a smile and all you have to say is, are you okay?
Yeah. You know, and I know people don't like to interfere anymore. Well, that's their life. But, you know, sometimes, just as you said, go up and ask, or not next door, if you feel someone isn't right, just say, are you okay? And, you know, we all are busy, I know that, but just take a little bit of time out and help somebody.
It is. And it's just be vigilant. And, you know, it's not even that you're interfering. You know, I want people to understand that. And especially young adolescents, if that's what we're speaking about mostly today. You know, it's not that we're going to be interfering with you. It's we're here to help you.
Exactly.
You know, and we care. And that's what the important thing is the stress to young adolescents. We're here to care. So if somebody does come up to you and ask you, are you okay? Embrace that and feel that and make that make you feel somebody does care. Somebody is reaching out to you for support. Take that support and reach out to your parents then as well.
Exactly. Listen, Tony, thanks a million for talking
you're
to us this morning.
Welcome, and thanks for having me, Debbie.
You're very welcome. And you'll send me that number and I'll give it out before the end of the show, hopefully. Tony,
well,
thanks a million once again.
No problem, Debbie. What I'll do is I'll tag you there on my organisation page with them numbers.
Brilliant. Okay. Talk
All
to you again
right,
fairly
Debbie.
Soon. And mind yourself. Thank you.
Thanks, See
you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Tony Breen. A big thank you to her for talking about her own mental health and about mental health in adolescents. And we'll get them numbers before the end of the show. And as he said, Tony's founder of mental health awareness and support group Candles in the Dark. So if you want to just go onto Facebook and go into Candles in the Dark, all the information is up there. Once again, a big thank you there to Tony for joining me here this morning on Lifeline.